If you feel like the gospel has been jumping around the last couple of weeks, well, that happens in the time after Easter. Well, today's reading takes us right back to that upper room in Jerusalem on the night that Jesus will be betrayed and then arrested. It seems like we just celebrated the resurrection, but there's more that we need to celebrate, and it's in his word today that we will do that. Jesus tells his apostles that he's going to leave them in order to prepare a place for them. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." You know the way to the place where I'm going. And that's before today's reading. Thomas, being the impetuous one, asks Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered him, saying probably some of the most powerful words that are in all of Scripture, because it reveals the truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In some places in Christianity, those are fighting words, because people like to try to change the words or to better understand them according to today's culture. But it's so important we remember what Jesus said. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Friends, there's no debate here. Jesus is the way, not one of many ways. And it comes down to this, and these are hard words to understand. If anyone says that Jesus is just one of many ways, then they don't believe that he is truthful. I, for one, do not believe Jesus to be a liar. The Lord Jesus encourages the apostles and all believers when he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." John 14, verses 11 to 14. That's just before today's Holy Gospel. So when we ask for something in Jesus' name, it will be to his glory, and through that, glory to the Father. I want you to remember the words that were recorded in both Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Just going to digress for a second. I truly learned what those words in Scripture meant when I was in seminary. My first semester in seminary, in the fall semester of 2002, we uprooted our family from Jacksonville, Florida. I left AT&T Universal Card and suddenly became a student after 30 years, having not been to college. I'd been teaching, and I had been an instructor with AT&T, but going back to school was a whole different story. What is MLA? I had to learn to write, because when I went to college, you typed on a typewriter, and if you made a mistake, you either had erasable paper or you had to start all over again. Word processors are a beautiful thing. The hardest part, I will tell you, was when I had to learn ancient Greek. I mean, I did okay in Spanish in high school. I had three years of Spanish. I did okay, well enough to speak when we went to South America twice. But Greek is a whole other issue. This is ancient Greek, which isn't being used anymore. I learned what my bony, knobby knees, one of which is replaced, would do, having to get on my knees and seek the Lord's guidance, because I'm not a linguist. And all of a sudden, having to learn and to understand. Now, why are we learning Greek? It's because the New Testament was written in Greek. And so, as a pastor, I can go back and look at the original text and understand what was going on before that, after that, and what the verbs meant. Were they just past, were they present, or were they ongoing? It's very powerful stuff, but I learned that I needed to get on my knees because there was no way I was going to do this by myself. And God is so good. Marilyn, I'll tell you, the nights that I was on my knees in our living room in the rented home in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, with tears in my eyes. But God is so good. I'm not bragging here, but I finished all of my Greek classes with A's. And those A's don't belong to me. They belong to the Lord. Because he had a plan for me, and he was not going to let me fail out. And he wanted me to understand when I'm preaching what I'm looking at. John continued in today's Holy Gospel with words that are very powerful to us. And what he said to us, he was telling us of his further relationship with them and with the Father, and with a new and incredible promise. Jesus made promises and he kept every single one of them. He said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor or advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and I will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I want you to think for a second. He's talking about the Holy Spirit being within us. So I want to make a reference here and ask you to think about the wind. You see its effects, right? Has anyone in here ever seen the wind? You can see what the wind does, but you can't see the wind. See trees swaying back and forth? You can feel it on your face. On a hot day, it helps to push some of those gnats away. You know, that's the effect. Or maybe you're driving on US 1 on the way to Jacksonville and the wind is blowing from some of those open fields and you feel the car pulling to the right or to the left because of that heavy wind. But do you see the wind? I've told you many times before that the Hebrew word for wind is ruach. It's also the same word for spirit. Ruach means wind, and Ruach HaKadesh means the holy wind or the Holy Spirit. When Jesus breathed upon the apostles in John chapter 20, they didn't see his breath, but they certainly felt its effects. We know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's in us, and we see the effects, the works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives his apostles both promises and warnings of what's to come. Bad and incredibly marvelous. He's telling them that in spite of the upcoming death that he will undergo, they'll never be alone. He's not going to leave them as orphans, assuring them that his Spirit will be with them. Later that same evening, Jesus tells them, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning." When you testify, you're a witness. And what does a witness do? A witness tells of what they know and what they've seen. If you're standing on Ward Street and all of a sudden there's a fender bender, and you go over and give your name, you're going to be a witness. And you're going to tell the truth about what you saw. On the day of Pentecost, these people, these apostles, all of their doubts and fears disappeared, and they became witnesses that they were supposed to be. All of it was washed away, and they boldly went out into the world to preach about Jesus. George read this morning from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. The Apostle Philip, who was called by the Holy Spirit and sent to testify to the eunuch. And then he vanished. All through the power of the Holy Spirit. The 11 apostles who were left after Judas betrayed our Lord, they chose a new apostle named Matthias to restore the number 12 again. And they went out into the world facing death. They wouldn't have been brave enough to face death if it had not been for the Holy Spirit of God and know the truth. They would soon be joined by the 13th apostle, Saul of Tarsus, who was knocked physically over on the road to Damascus, struck blind for 3 days, and he would be transformed by the Holy Spirit from a persecutor to become one of the most influential men in Christian history. What we learn from that is that God can use anyone. And as you may feel unworthy, God doesn't see that. God sees a child of His who He can use for His ministry. Be open to it. Let's get back to the upper room now. On that night in the upper room, Jesus knew what was ahead of him. He would be arrested, betrayed, arrested, tried, which was a mockery, his execution, death, and resurrection. But before he left his apostles, he wanted them to understand that they were never going to find themselves in a position of abandonment. No matter how lonely they may have felt, he was always going to be with them. He promised that his Holy Spirit would live in them as the epitome of God's presence. He offered them the wonderful gift of an advocate, a counselor, a comforter. And if Drew were here, I'd ask him what that means, and he'd say, a defense attorney. He's always defending us, but he's also a prosecutor who is going to go after the enemy and let him have what for in our defense. This advocate, comforter, counselor, a helper to us in our trials. Jesus promised to come back to his people and to answer us when we call upon him. The advocate, the comforter, the counselor, the helper that Jesus promised has long since come and taken up residence where? In our hearts. Continually teaching us what God wants and bringing peace to our souls. When Jesus took his last breath, the temple veil was torn in two, not from bottom to top, but from as no human could do. Where did human come from? And no human could do. It was torn from the top to the bottom, as only God can do. Wow. Assigned believers would know that they now have direct access to God himself in the person of God's Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised to all humans. We as followers of Jesus are blessed to have the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts. And we know that we will one day share in Jesus' glorious presence for all eternity. You see, without Jesus in our lives, everyday problems and challenges would appear to be huge, unreachable mountains. Without Jesus in our lives, we would be at the mercy of this harsh world. When we give our lives to Jesus, we receive the kind of hope that gives us strength as we're empowered to put our daily struggles into perspective and into his loving hands. Might be like a student getting on his knees to learn Greek and just saying, I can't do this without you, Lord. We don't need to feel worried or afraid when we know that we have Almighty God walking with us through life's journey. In closing, I want to leave you with some words of Scripture. words that Jesus shared later that evening. I'm going to ask you to please open your pew Bibles to the top of page 1678. John 16, verses 5 through 15. It's at the top of page 1678. Jesus told them, "But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Friends, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three different gods, but one God in three distinct persons, all working for the same thing, the will of the Father. And Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 20, "You will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Being a believer in Jesus Christ means that with the Holy Spirit living within us, we will also work toward achieving the Father's will, that no one would be lost. God's love is for everyone. Remember, my friends, Jesus is a gentleman. He will never force his love on you. He will never force anything on you. As in Revelation 3:20, he stands and he waits for people to open the doors of their heart and invite him in. That's what the kids are learning this morning about Revelation 3:20 in a doorway. And they're going to choose the doorway of their hearts right now as they speak. They have pictures to look at. It's an amazing lesson. And they'll know that when they do open that door, we'll know when we do open that door, and praise God, we have already opened that door, we'll never be the same. "The one who loves me," Jesus said, "will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.